Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. This week, Dr. Julia Porter of Mississippi State University speaks about school counselors and their need for training in crisis counseling. Dr. Darren Wozniak obtains Dr. Porter's perspective on how counselor education programs currently train school counselors in the area of crisis counseling.
This is Dr. Darren Wozniak interviewing Dr. Julia Porter on the topic of school counselors and crisis counseling. So, Dr. Porter, my first question is, how important is it to school counselors, to school administrators, that their school counselors are trained in the area of crisis counseling?
Well, school administrators count on the counselor to intervene in crisis every day, from simple things to major, like suicide. And so it's important that they have the training that they need in order to be able to provide those services. And the crisis counseling is considered to be such an important part of the school counselor's job that if you look at state guidelines, they include information about crisis counseling. And if you look at the American School Counselor Association National Model Framework for school counseling programs, they specifically describe crisis counseling as being the prevention, intervention, and follow-up in situations that are imminent and immediate concern to students. And the counseling and support that is provided is to the students and their families. And it's normally a very short term and temporary in nature. And then at times it's even necessary during a crisis for the school counselor to make referrals. So that is a job that only the school counselor would have had training and be qualified to do.
Mm-hmm. And so in what crisis-related situations do school administrators rely on school counselors to handle?
I think it changes every day, because that's one thing about the school counselor's job is it's based on needs of the student population that they serve. And so today it might be intervening between two friends who've had a fight and mm-hmm. Can't resolve the issue on their own. And it may, in some schools, as we've heard in news in recent years, it may be a situation that is totally out of control, where one student decides to use violence against the teachers, administrators, and other students in order to resolve issues.
In your opinion, to what extent do school counselors in training, so these would be both incoming and current students, understand their future role regarding crisis counseling in schools?
I think that also varies from one individual to the other. The recent news headlines about schools and the crisis situations in schools, I think, have made the general population more aware mm-hmm. of the fact that school counselors do play a role in those situations. But as far as understanding what the specific duties are, unless it is someone who has been in the school system a long time and perhaps served on a team with a school counselor, I think that sometimes incoming students think that counseling is going to be like situations that they've seen in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, a typical day is not like that, and yet you deal with crisis on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. So they almost romanticize the
yes.
job. Mm-hmm. What could counselor education programs do to help school counselors in training understand this vital future role that they will be expected to manage?
One of the things that we can do is to start early on in the program helping students to identify specific duties and those that are related to crisis counseling as well. The sites that they're going to usually have some type of plan, and depending upon the school site, some have very detailed crisis management plans that are written up formally and given to new counselors and to faculty when they enter the school. Others, it's more an understood program that in a crisis situation the principal's called, or in a crisis situation the school nurses call. So sometimes the school counselor has to be their own advocate and determine what the plan is and ask for the information. And so that's one of the things that we do, is to try to help them identify, when you go into this role as a school counselor, what are some of the things that you're going to need to ask if the information is not supplied to you? And the crisis counseling would be one of the top priorities for information.
I guess this is a parallel. We have like fire policies,
right?
And fire drills practiced all the time for people to be familiar with the policy and how it operates. In your experience, do schools practice their crisis-related policies?
In my own personal experience, none of the schools that I worked at practiced the crisis policies. Even if they had a formal written policy, we went over it like at an initial faculty meeting at the beginning of the year, perhaps maybe at midterm, but we did not practice that. Whereas with the tornado drills, because that was something that was very common to this area, we did practice those. And with the fire drills, we did practice those.
Yeah.
So in a crisis situation, although you might have a written formal policy, there may not be the time to go and look that policy up and go through and read what the proper procedures would be.
Right, right. So the school counselor has to find another way to become familiar with it.
Yes.
In your opinion, how do counselor education programs do in training school counselors to be competent in the area of crisis counseling?
I think this is one of the most difficult areas to train any counselor in, because you're responding to a situation that you were not aware of until the moment that it occurred.
Right.
And I think role-playing is helpful. Hearing what other counselors have done in crisis situations is helpful. But there is a certain amount of logical common sense that you have to display in a crisis to deal with the situation. And so while we're anything that we can do to train and prepare counselors so that they're more aware and they have some skills to choose from in responding to crisis, I think helps. But as far as them actually being prepared for every crisis situation, I don't know that we'll ever be able to provide total training.
Yeah, and maybe it wasn't a completely fair question, because you can only do so much in a two-year program.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, but I guess maybe competent to the point that they're prepared for independent practice. Because a good portion of it is continuing education. We'll take care of the ongoing competency.
Right.
But to what extent do our counselor education programs prepare them to be independent practitioners in the school? For crisis counseling, I guess, is a better question.
I think that the field experience component of the counseling programs does a great job of that. The practicum requires 100 hours of field experience, so that's good beginning exposure. And then the internship is an additional 600 hours.
Yep.
And during that time, they will deal with crisis while they're under the supervision of the on-site and the university supervisor, so they have a backup system to help them as they're trying to decide. And so I think that probably those two classes provide the strongest background. And so at least we're confident that we're not sending any counseling student out who has not had to deal with some crisis situations and knows the procedures and has had some experience in how to resolve those.
Those are kind of field-based experiences, right?
Right, right.
What do we have to do in counselor education programs prior to field-based experiences to give them more experiences to the problems they're going to face?
I think that all classes, especially in the core classes, we need to have a crisis counseling component. Talk about situations that have occurred and could possibly occur. I don't think any counselor counsels for any length of time that they don't deal with the issue of suicide, mm-hmm. that they don't deal with abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of issues definitely should be case scenarios, mm-hmm. Vignettes. In some form, they need to be included in all of the classes and talk about the legal and ethical issues involved,
yeah.
and what the procedures would be for the cases, what would be good standard policy. If you're unsure of how to proceed, who you should contact, who would be able to supply that information to you.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause the reason I ask that is if their first exposure to crisis counseling situation is field-based, where they actually have a real crisis,
right.
That can be overwhelming for students and so for new counselors. And so if it happens in the classroom where it's a vignette mm-hmm. kind of case kind of thing, there's the safety built in.
Yes.
And then there's you don't have the anxiety overwhelming them.
And that is a good way to build confidence, to
yeah.
give them the practice, and at the same time, as you said, to safeguard the clients.
Yeah, very much. I had another question as well. School counselors, I guess, a lot of times are expected to be the leader of the school crisis response teams. Do you think that school counselors are prepared sufficiently for the role?
I think we could probably do more to prepare them. Certainly, we get different personalities in the school counseling field, and we do have some natural leaders mm-hmm. that assume that role without having training. But we also have some who are shyer and maybe have not participated in that role in the past. And that in itself can be overwhelming when you go into a new position and you're learning the job, especially if it's something that you had not anticipated would be part of your duties. If you were thinking you were going to do individual or group counseling,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly you are in charge of the team for students.
What additional training would you add for to develop leadership skills for school counselors?
I think it would be great if we could do some kind of collaboration with the school leadership, Ed Leadership Administration mm-hmm. programs. For one thing, it would be good for the students who are going to be the principals and administrators to know what the role of the counselor is.
Mm-hmm.
And
very much.
Yeah, to understand much better what counselors should be doing. And I think that would eliminate some of the confusion that we see in some school counselors' roles, with them being assigned duties that are more clerical or administrative in nature than counseling. But the other thing is that if we had a class where the counseling students took a class with the administrators, it would also give them some of the leadership skills that we expect someone who takes a team leadership position in a school.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, they're going to do a lot of work with parents, and they do need to be seen at times as the person in charge and
mm-hmm.
the authority in the absence of the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that would be very helpful to our students as well, to learn those skills.
That's a great idea. What challenges or barriers do you see counselor educators facing in training school counselors in the area of crisis counseling?
I think probably the changing nature of school and society in general, and trying to keep the curriculum up to date, just the idea of the textbooks taking a little bit of time to change out.
Mm-hmm.
And education, higher ed, tends to change slowly in comparison to K through 12 or to society in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to have to learn to be much more responsive to what is happening.
Right.
Instead of wanting them to come to our ideas, even if we have great ideas.
Yeah. Do you think counselor educators see the need for more emphasis in crisis counseling in counselor ed programs?
I think so. I think that we're becoming, in general, more aware that we have to be in tune with the school system. If you look at the history of higher ed, it has set the standard and everyone else kind of followed. And now we're seeing a reverse of that, where the school systems are changing in response to demands that they be more accountable and they provide better services to the clients, mm-hmm. which are the students. And I think that for us to be effective in higher ed, we're going to have to learn to focus on that as well. What are mm-hmm. the school systems demanding of the school counselors? Have we changed the curriculum to meet that need?
Mm-hmm.
In the spring of this past year, we had a summit at our campus, and we did invite counselors from across the state, school counselors, to come in, along with counselor educators from our university, to sit down and say, what is it you need to know? What do we need to do differently, and how can we help you to be more effective in the field? And the area of crisis counseling and leadership were two of the areas that they brought up. And
really?
The other one was assessment, because they see those areas as being a large part of their role.
Mm-hmm.
And while the individual, they thought we did a great job of preparing them for the individual and group counseling with the theoretical basis and the techniques and the skills,
mm-hmm.
but they felt that their actual job duties were much broader than that, and that they were not as well prepared for those additional duties.
That's very interesting. Yeah. And provides a catalyst for yeah. making these changes.
Yes.
What recommendations would you make to better utilize the existing school counselor curriculum to address the need for crisis counseling skills development?
Okay, we currently in our program of study have an elective class in crisis counseling, and I think that that class perhaps should be made a requirement or a restricted elective,
mm-hmm.
because students, especially in school counseling, are going to need that, and probably in community as well, but certainly in school counseling, they're going to need to be able to address crisis situations. I think that while we touch on the crisis counseling in general classes like school counseling services, that we may need to do a more in-depth unit and put more emphasis in that particular area, since that seems to create more concern with the students and probably with the administrators as well. Concern about handling those types of situations in a professional way
mm-hmm.
that turns out to be a win-win situation for the students and the parents and the faculty.
Yeah. Within the current counselor education curriculum, in what ways are you already preparing school counselors in the area of crisis counseling?
Okay. Well, as we talked about earlier, one of the ways that we probably do the most in crisis counseling is in the practicum and internship field experiences. But we also try to include some of the crisis counseling issues in other classes. I know you teach an ethics class, and mm-hmm. I've heard students who have taken the class talk about some of the situations that they've looked at mm-hmm. in those classes. And I think one of the things that's so difficult about crisis situations in general is that they're so complex and they have such long reaching effects on other areas besides the immediate crisis that you're trying to resolve mm-hmm. as far as the legal and the ethical issues. So I think that that's another area that we certainly have talked about in our curriculum, is trying to add that class as a required class along with the crisis counseling, which would then give the students a much stronger foundation in what they can do with their clients.
Mm-hmm. I suppose we could have, like we do have electives that they
right.
can take, but they can choose not to.
Yes, yeah. And that's the problem. They yeah. may choose to take something else that might be beneficial, but perhaps doesn't touch on
yeah.
crisis.
Do you see any challenges in trying to adapt our current curriculum that they're required to take to put in components of crisis counseling?
probably the greatest challenge to that would be it would depend on each individual faculty member being willing to emphasize that. And because we do have academic freedom, you know, we're given the list of objectives and goals for the classes that were agreed on by the faculty in general. But individual implementation of that is left up to the individual instructor. So if you get someone who has a great interest in a different field other than crisis counseling, that may be the unit that they spend the least amount of time on.
Right. And so we come back to my earlier question, to what extent do counselor educators see this as a need?
Right.
Because if they don't see it as a need, it's unlikely it's going to get integrated across the required curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
How can counselor educators encourage school counselors to develop their competency in crisis counseling outside of their required curriculum?
We have been working on a model at our campus, something that's been several years in the making, where we have professional development workshops. And we started this in the fall of this past year in 2005. And what we do is provide an opportunity for helping professionals in the social work and psychology as well as in counseling to come into sessions that focus on topics that are of interest in the counseling field and things that they probably are already dealing with their clients, but perhaps would like additional expertise or new information. And one of the things that we have found is that those sessions, while they provide great information for the counselors and the other helping professionals, it also creates the network between those professionals and allows them to see what the community counselors who are working with youth and adolescents at the school sites are doing with those individuals. And so one of the things that they have written on evaluations is that making those contacts and hearing what other helping professionals are doing to help the same individuals they're working with has been really beneficial to them.
Now, most of our students are commuter type students.
Right.
Has it been hard to get students to come to the workshops?
The workshops have, like I said, this is the first year that we've done this, and so far we've had a steady group, and we have kind of done this on a pilot basis with the idea that we would see what worked and what did not, and then we could make any corrections that we needed to and expand to a larger audience beginning in the fall of 2006. And I've been really pleased not only at the participation of both community and school counselors, but at the evaluations about the value of the workshops and the information that they received. And the faculty in social work and counseling, both community and school, have volunteered to do the workshops as a service project. And the participants have said that it's been really relevant to their practice and that they felt that this was something that helped them to continue to develop professionally. And so they would like to see us do more. And they have even suggested some topics. And one of the things that we're seeing somewhat of a crisis in the schools in this area is with an increase in mental disorders being diagnosed for children and adolescents. And so there is concern, especially with the school counselors who have been practicing in the field for a while, that some of the earlier programs did not emphasize the mental illness diagnosis. And so they're interested when they have a child who comes to them who is in crisis, and they also are seeing a counselor outside of the school setting, and they need to know what some of the things are that are going on in this child's life and about collaboration with the community people. So the workshops are providing some of those links that they need to be more effective.
So it sounds as though having an institute that goes with the counselor ed program is a very viable model.
Yes.
For continuing education. Because I know in the school counseling programs, there's very few, there's very little room for electives.
Right.
And so, you know, you can only fit in so much in elective space. And so if there's other needs, where do you go? And so having it go to the institute sounds like a very viable way to do it.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because in a 48-hour KCRIP-approved school counseling program, the maximum number of elective hours in our program is 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if they took the crisis counseling class and they took the legal and ethical, if those were made required, then they would have 3 hours of electives. And that might not be a bad thing, because what we really want to do is to be sure that the students are well prepared for their professional role.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that that might be something that we do on a trial basis, designating the restricted electives, and then see how that works.
Yeah, because I was thinking too, like for them to go to a state conference or a regional or national conference is very, it's very expensive for students.
Yeah.
And so offering continuing ed that's local to their counselor ed program gives them more opportunities.
Yes, it does. And there's also a problem with school counselors being able to get away from the school setting.
Right.
To have someone to come in if there's something that they're working on, or it's in the middle of testing, or whatever the situation may be. But that is a problem, being able to get away, even if the financial part of it was taken care of.
So time and money are two barriers to continuing ed for them.
Yes.
So this is this could be very helpful in the area of crisis counseling skills development for them over time.
Yes. And the opportunity, I think, for them to come in and to share, because the sessions are interactive, and for them to have the opportunity to share what is they have done that has worked for them and been effective, and then to talk with other professionals about the same issues and how they're dealing with them and what is working for them. You know, I think that's valuable in itself. And then the faculty, because they do have the opportunity and are expected at a research university to attend and present at national conventions, they can bring back information that would not easily be available to some of the helping professionals in the local area.
So it's disseminating to the practitioners.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a great role. And I want to highlight, too, something you had mentioned earlier, that one of the spin-offs of the Institute was the connections people made.
Right.
And how that is so important when you're working independently. And sometimes there might be just one school counselor in a school, having this network of former professors, new school counseling students and practitioners in other schools to interact with on a regular basis. And that can be very helpful outside of the workshops for them to maintain these connections.
And you're so right about sometimes the counselor's role is a very lonely role, because they are the only person who's performing that exact duty. And I think that's one reason that it's hard for other people sometimes to understand, because it is such a different role from teachers or administrators. And the networking, there's a lot of burnout in the helping professions, and one reason is the lack of networking and support. So if we could do something to address that.
Yeah, and the reason that made me think of it is that crisis counseling is very high-end anxiety-provoking kind of work. And if there's not the support part of it there, it can lead to burnout. And
yes.
So the Institute has that kind of built into it as a very positive spin-off, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We've come to the end of the interview. I want to thank Dr. Porter for her time in the area of school and crisis counseling. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've just heard contributing editor Darren Wozni interview Dr. Julia Porter regarding school counselors' crisis training. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.